Praise God, my brothers, my sisters. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Pastor Emmanuel Soma. I love the Lord, and you are listening to this channel, Spirit and Life, that comes from the book of John, John chapter 6, verse 63, where Jesus told his disciples that the flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit gives life. That the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. And I trust that the Lord will minister to you through this channel, because we just purpose to teach God's word and to go through the Bible and to grow from it. Yeah, so it's a pleasure to welcome you, and feel free to share your prayer requests, to share your concerns and any question that you may have, and let's keep the Bible study going. Yeah, so we have been doing a study on the call of God through the life of Abraham. And this has been a series about just studying the life of Abraham and seeing how God worked in his life, how he walked with God, and how he is considered the father of faith. And today we shall be looking at an interesting aspect of Abraham, where we see he had, for lack of a better word, he was jealous. But jealous for what? Let us read the scriptures and we shall find out that. But even before we start, I want us to pray. And I received, there's been some prayer concerns for some uncle who is sick, uncle of Paula, which we shall commit to the Lord. And even as we ask the Spirit to lead us in this message, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We honor your holy name. We know that you are God. We know that you are faithful. We know that there is no one else like you, God. You are on the throne. And indeed, in such a morning, you've given us the chance to be in your presence, to honor you, God, to adore you, to worship your holy name. We submit ourselves to you, O God. Indeed, purify us from all unrighteousness, O God. Everything that we have done that is contrary to your will, may you sanctify us, O God. And Father, indeed, I thank you for this morning that you shall be here to speak to us, O God. I pray that your Spirit indeed shall open up the word. Indeed, you shall light the word, and that we shall receive your word. And indeed, I thank you for Paula's uncle, and for anyone who may be sick who's listening to this message, O God, or who has a relative that is sick, O God. Your word tells us, but by your stripes we were healed, O God. And indeed, I thank you that every beating that you took was for our healing. Indeed, as your body was crushed, our bodies that are being broken by sicknesses were being made well. And I pray for healing in this moment. You are a God who is not limited by space, time, and indeed you can touch. And I pray that you may touch everyone needing healing this morning. We honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. Thank you that you answer our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So today we are going to read from Genesis chapter 14. And it's going to be an interesting story about Lot and Abraham, and what happened to Lot when he made his choice. And there's a video on that, Lot's choice. Lot made a choice based on what he could see. He looked at the plains of Jordan. He looked at how they were well watered. And he made the logical choice. He wanted to take the first choice, but yet we saw also the difference with Abraham. Abraham waited upon God. Abraham did not even make a choice. He just carried on obeying God's instructions to dwell in the land of Canaan until the Lord spoke to him and told him, now lift up your eyes. And this is the place where a believer should be at rest until the Spirit leads, until the Spirit now commands. It is time, you know, to arise, and it's a time to move, occupy, you know. And I know that God is always faithful and ready and willing to lead his disciples, to lead his followers. And God is faithful. So right into the word, Genesis chapter 14. And it says that at that time, verse 1, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasa, Kedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab. Don't mind all the long names, but you know, this it's just to summarize it, like five kings came to war against four kings. Now, of these four kings, one of them was the king of Sodom. And remember, Lot, who had just separated with Abram, went to live next. Just he pitched his tent next in Sodom. And later on, we'll see that he actually ended up living in Sodom. So maybe I can just jump to verse 11. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah were part of the five kings. Apologies for that. So verse 11, the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, and they went away. Verse 12, they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. Remember, he pitched his tent near Sodom, but now he was living in Sodom. And the scriptures had already told us that the people of Sodom were sinning greatly. So we can see that Lot begins to suffer as a consequence of his choice, as a consequence of going to the wrong place where he was not supposed to be at. If he had been patient and trusted the Lord to guide him, it would have been a different story. But unfortunately, we see that he suffers for being in the wrong place, for being out of God's will. And so we see that verse 13, that one who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Amazingly, this is the first time that we see that Abram is called a Hebrew. I mean, the tribe Hebrew did not exist. But it seemed that when God, you know, pulled out Abram out of, you know, Ur of the Chaldeans, out of his father's household, he created in him a nation. He created in him a tongue. He created in him a tribe. And we know as believers, we are of the tribe of Jesus. We are Zionites. We have the tribe of Zion. Just so that means there is no Jew or Gentile. There is no, you know, black or white. There is no, you know, race. When you're in Christ, we are of him, of the same substance. And thus there's no distinction. And so we see that Abram the Hebrew was living near the great trees of Mamre. Now Mamre, in the previous chapter, verse 18, it's where he built his second altar. And this is where he went to pitch his tent after God told him, you know, to walk the length and breadth of the camp. The first altar he had built between Bethel and Ai, the second one, it is Mamre. And it's something that we need to see in the journey of faith of Abraham, how he littered Canaan with altars. Everywhere he will go, he will raise an altar and call upon the name of the Lord. And of course, there was a reason for that. At that time, you know, I mean, there was still not yet redemption for sin that Christ brought, because Christ became the final sacrifice. And there is no need, you know, to kill animals, to raise those sacrifices in our time, because Christ has already paid that price. What we are asked to do in our time in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 is that, therefore, let us offer our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. This is our spiritual act of worship. So what is expected of the New Testament believer is to offer me as a living sacrifice. So God is not desiring the blood of bulls and rams, but God is after you and me offering ourselves, being available to do his will, whatever his will is, whatever he asks us to do, obedience to his will. And so just so that we are not confused on the altars beat, I don't want, you know, this I mean, there's a lot of teaching of, you know, you have to, you know, to raise an altar, you know, by, you know, giving this much money, you raise an altar. Yes, I don't negate the place of giving, but it is giving. Our giving should be in response to love. Our giving should be in response to love, because God loves a cheerful giver. Our giving should be out of joy. And it's not the size of the gift, but it is the willingness. It's the state of the heart when we are giving. And many times our giving in our current time is just to receive. But that is not the pattern of giving that the Lord expects. Our giving must be in response of love, to love. It must be from a willing heart. It must be not under compulsion. We must be cheerful when we give. And it must be as our worship unto the Lord, not with the expectation to receive back, but out of joy and love and a response in faith to the Lord. Yeah, so let's just carry on. So verse 13. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshol, and Anar, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 men trained, born in his household, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Let me just pause there. Abraham had separated with Lot. Abraham had given Lot the first chance to choose the best. Lot did. He went and left and separated. But we can see that Abraham was not jealous. Was not angry with his brother, with his nephew. He immediately took up action. And he called out 318 men trained in his household. It's amazing how this one man who left his father, households, his father's possessions and everything. At this point, God had already increased him to 318 men, trained men in his household. And later on, we see God speak, you know, when he comes to visit Abram, he says that, how can I hide this thing? Like when he was about to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, how can I hide this thing from Abram? Because Abram himself will become a mighty nation. And the reason I have chosen him is because he shall teach his children and his children after him to follow after me. So we can, and that you can read in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. We can see that the purpose and the reason that God chose Abraham is because he saw the generational leadership and pattern in his life. That this is a man who would has the ability to teach his children and his children after me to know my ways. Parents, can God count on us to raise up our children in the fear and knowledge of God? Can God count on you and me to lead them in the way that they should go, such that when they are old, they will not depart from it? We can see that God chose Abram because he knew that he will teach his children. Wow, what a quality of Abram. So he called out 318 men. So that means he had already become a community, a face, you know, a force to reckon with. And you can imagine only 318 men are the ones who went out to chase after four kings who had just won the victory and who had, you know, carried Lot and their possessions and everything. And during the night, verse 15, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. Verse 16, he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Verse 17, Abram returned from defeating Kedalomah and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him. Let me just pause there. 318 men went and overpowered four kings that had destroyed that, all those five kings, and taken their possessions. Well, if it's not God, it cannot be the effort of man. It is not the effort of man. It is not that they were well trained. Yes, Abraham had done his training, but it is quite impossible for only 318 men to conquer four kings unless God is involved. And yes, God helped Abraham. And so he was able to recover all. He recovered all. You know, in this journey of faith, for lack of a better word, we are in a war. And the Bible tells us, let us not be ignorant of the devil's schemes. The devil from time to time will throw a punch here and there. He will attack us with sicknesses, you know, with financial troubles, with difficulties. We might lose our properties when thieves attack us. But we can see that Abram went and rescued Lot, and he recovered all his possessions. He recovered Lot and his possessions, and all the women, and all other people. And so, as Abram gets back, he encounters two kings. First of all, he meets the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom had just lost everything as well. And so Abram was returning all his possessions, all the possessions that his people, the people of Sodom, the women, the possessions that had been captured in the war. And he also meets Melchizedek. And this is an interesting man. Just hold on there. We need to, you know, to just delve into this man. Verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. Just want to hold on there. Who is this Melchizedek that Abram will meet when coming from the victory and meet this king who is a priest, king of Salem, and a priest of the Most High? And I will throw you to go to Hebrews chapter 7. And it gives us an account of this Melchizedek. It says that Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. Then this Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means king of righteousness. Then also king of Salem means kings of peace. So that means he was a king of righteousness, his name, and he was also the king of peace. And verse 3 tells us, without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. There's some mysteries in the Bible that we will not understand. How this king Melchizedek is considered to have no father, no mother, he had no beginning and no end of life, he had no genealogy, and yet he is, and Jesus is compared to him like a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And this is the man that meets Abraham and blesses Abraham. He did not bless Abraham before Abraham gave him a tenth, that is a tithe. Remember, Abraham gave him a tenth, and a tenth is a tithe. It's another word for the tithe. 10% of what he had got. But he blessed Abraham. So we see the order, the pattern there. The blessing came before the response to the giving. The response of Abraham to the giving was, to the blessing was the giving. But nowadays we have a twist in that where someone will tell you, drop your offering first, then I will pray for you, which is wrong. And we need to correct and teach the people of God the right thing. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And Abraham recognized that this man or this king, he is greater than him. And that's why we are told that for sure, that verse 6, that now this man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi, yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Look at that. Abraham already had received the promises of God. What more did he need to be blessed again? But God, in his divine purpose, sent Melchizedek to bless Abraham. And he blesses him and gives thanks to God and recognizes how Abraham is blessed by God, the creator of heaven and earth. And the response of Abraham is to give a tithe, to give a tenth. Now, many people argue that the tithe is of the law. But yet we can see here that Abraham gave a tithe even in absence of the law. He gave a tithe even in absence of the law. And the Levites, when we look at the law, the tithe, the Levites did not own property, did not give tithes. But the scriptures say that they were in the body of Abraham when he gave the tithe to Melchizedek. Tithing is not our topic. We shall have a day for that if the Lord allows us. But what we can see is that Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Then we see an interesting account, and this, sorry, is the core of the message. The king of Sodom, verse 21, said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Verse 22, but Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and share, and the share that belongs to the men who went with me to Anar, Eshol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. You know, the king of Sodom, he had no basis to demand anything from Abram. All he would have requested from his deliverer, who was Abram, was just his wife and his children. And so he tells him, give me the people. Give me the people. You keep the goods. You can imagine, and this is not just the goods from Sodom alone, but five kings were conquered by four kings, remember. So this is so much wealth. But we see the jealousy of Abraham arise. Abraham was jealous for God's glory. Abraham was jealous. I will use Abraham and Abraham interchangeably. Don't mind me. He was jealous for God's glory. He made an oath that I will not give you the chance to say that you made Abraham rich. No, that boasting is only reserved for the Lord. Abraham did not want any man to take God's glory. And for sure, God in his word says, I will not share my glory with another. You know, there are people who, when they want to help us, they will keep reminding us, oh, you know, I'm the one who connected you that job. You know, I'm the one who gave you that money to start that business. You know, if it was not for me educating you, you'll not be where you are. And many times they want to show that they are the ones who have helped you get where you are. And this would have been the case with the king of Sodom. If Abram had accepted to take all the goods that he had rescued, yes, it was his right. And that is why he said, let these other guys, these three other guys, take their fair share, because it was the right to take. And there are times where it might be your right to do some things. But Abraham shows us a different character of faith that we need to emulate. Jealously guarding the glory of God. Please, my brother, my sister, never allow anyone to take the glory of God. Never allow anyone to take his glory. Never allow anyone, no man of God, no uncle, no, you know, no politician, to have the boast that he is the one that has prospered, he's the one that has rescued you, he's the one that has helped you get where you are. Let us copy Abraham when he told King Sodom, no, you take your goods. I will not take anything, lest you say that I made Abraham rich. And maybe you counted on men. Maybe you depended on men. Maybe men are taking their glory from instead of the place of God. God is merciful and is able to help us. And let us also not take God's glory, even areas where we have helped people. Let us return the glory to God, lest we suffer the fate of King Herod, who spoke so greatly, and people say, this is the voice of a God, not a man. And the Bible says, because he did not give the glory to God, an angel struck him to death, and his body was eaten by worms. Cherubims protect the glory of God, and they stand with their swords ready to strike. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you've taught us that we need to be jealous for your glory. I pray that you may give us that wisdom to know when to give you back glory all the time, oh God. May you take the glory of our lives. It's not our efforts. It's not our doing, but it is your glory, oh God. Receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And thank you for your answer our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Yes, let us meet again on this channel. Please feel free to share, comment, share your testimony, your prayer requests, share any questions that you have arising from this teaching. And with the grace of God, we'll endeavor to answer and to carry on, you know, teaching God's word. So God bless you, and let us meet again as the Lord wills. Bye.